All right, we're going to be in Colossians. And I left off in verse number 24, and we covered the first half of the verse. So I'm going to read the verse, and we'll cover the second half. Now he says, verse 24, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ." And we talked about how Paul was afflicted for Christ, and he bare in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, and he's a hard act to follow, man. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And I tell you, Paul was somebody who followed the Lord, and Paul was somebody who we ought to try to be like, because, brother, he was following the Lord, and he had sufferings, and he had persecutions, plural. He had afflictions, plural. And he was going through stripes, plural, and imprisonment, plural, and he had a rough time, and man, five times he was beaten with those stripes. And man, don't you know, he looked like a rough character, and he had been stoned, and he had been in the deep, he says. And man, he had all night there one time, and he had to, some of them was on broken pieces, the Bible says. And man, they was floating ashore, and you know, he just had a rough time for the Lord. And so he goes on to say this, though. He says, "The afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake." And we know His body, the Bible says, which is the church. So I like to tell you this. You know, you hear preachers say, "Well, this church won't save you. And going to church won't save you." You know, there's a lot of people that think going to church will save you. A lot of people think that if they're a member of a church, that saves you. Friend, I want to be in the church, which is His body. And whenever you get saved, the Holy Spirit places you into the body of Christ. That's the church you want to be a part of. And that's what He's telling you, of the body of Christ. But He said this, I want to bring this point out, "The affliction of Christ in my flesh." Now, you ever thought about that? What does that mean, in my flesh? Look at a passage of Scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some interesting things he has to say here. I'm talking about in his flesh. And it's a blessing. You know, a lot of times, if you don't think about it, and when you don't read your word, you forget what a position it is to be in Christ. You forget what a blessing it is, and what you really got. You know, some people, you know, they've said this saying, and it's so true: you don't know what you got till it's gone. Well, friend, a lot of people don't realize what they have in Christ Jesus. A friend, in Christ, you've got such blessings, and look what He allows you to do. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, he says this: "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." And I'm going to stop there just a moment. An ambassador, you know, when America sends an ambassador over to another country, that ambassador is a representative. And man, he's got a high position there. He's representing the authority over here. Well, guess what we are? We're representing the authority in heaven. We're ambassadors for Christ, representatives for Christ. But watch this. He says, "As though Christ did beseech you by us," he says, "we pray you," look at this phrase, "in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." He said, "We're praying in Christ's stead." You imagine that? Praying in Christ's stead. Let me give you another verse before I go into expounding on that. Look at the same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. Let's give you another witness here. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 10 says this: "To whom we forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it, forgave I it in the person of Christ." In the person of Christ. Isn't that amazing? You're standing here in the stead of Jesus Christ. The Bible says you're in ambassadors. And back to Paul over, he said he's got the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. Isn't that amazing right there? Here you are representing Christ. You know what the Germans call Christians? Christians. What means little Christ. Little Christ. We're like little, you're a representative of Jesus Christ on here on earth. We are representing Christ, and that's supposed to affect you, because you got to realize that other people, we say it, but what you mean, you're supposed to get more out of it than just saying it. People say, well, other people are supposed to see Christ in you. Yeah, that means a whole lot more. That they really are supposed to see Jesus Christ working in and through you. You are lights of the world. Jesus said, I am the light. But then over in Matthew, he said, you are the light of the world. Well, how is that? We're like the moon. The moon don't have any light of itself, but the sun is shining over there, and the moon is reflecting to the earth the light of the sun. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be reflecting the light of Jesus Christ, and we can pray for other folks in the stead of Jesus Christ. And you think about it. Some people say, well, what's that verse over there mean where you can remit and retain sins? Well, you think about this, and the Catholics pervert that verse, but you think about this. You're able to tell somebody that if they'll trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that their sins are forgiven them. That's a lot of power right there.
Amen.
And guess what else you're able to tell them? You're able to tell them if they don't trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that their sins are not remitted and their sins are retained on them. And that's a lot of power right there. You know, other folks, lost folks can't say that. But a person who knows this Bible and you know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can tell them and it'll be just as true as it can be. Look, you can prophesy. Some people talking about prophesying. This should be prophesying. Look, if you don't trust Jesus Christ, I can tell you where you're going to be for eternity.
That's
you'll
right.
be in an eternal lake of fire. Uh-huh. And friend, that's all I need. You know, you got some of these people that pervert those sayings. But friend, that's all you need right there. Man, ain't that a blessing? And not only that you're able to suffer for His sake. Y'all know over in Acts chapter 5, those disciples were suffering for Christ, and they was getting whipped for Christ, and the Bible said they counted it joy, and it was an honor that they were able to suffer for Christ. That ought to be our attitude. Paul was glad he was able to suffer for Him. Alright, now, back to Colossians. I hope that kind of helps a little bit on that verse. Verse 25 says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, I know that some of this will be a rehash for you, but a dispensation, we've got this chart of the dispensations here, which is a fairly good chart by Clarence Larkin. But the dispensation is not, you can't label it as a period of time and just say, look, that's that period of time right there. A dispensation is how God is dealing something out in that period of time. Does that make sense? Like, for instance, a dispensation, a dispenser, like a Pez dispenser, is a giving out of a thing. And right now, these men, we're in the church age, and these men are saved by grace through faith. You know that He's given out, or He's dispensing grace. Grace covers all the ages. But He's dispensing grace differently now than He did here. Why? How do you know? Because under the law, friend, you couldn't even have pork. Now you know God, the Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, He is in that He does not change in His character, but how He deals with man is obviously different. I thank God that as far as that law, friend, you imagine right now some of the things that they did under the law. Friend, under the law, you could get stoned for adultery. Do we stone people for adultery now? We don't do that, do we? And so thank God for that. So right now His grace is being dispensed, and He's given the thing out different in the church age than He did here. So we went through a lot of these, but He's telling you the dispensation of God. Now, why is He telling you this? Look at verse 26. He says this, even the mystery, see, Paul was given, the mysteries were revealed to Paul. He said, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Now, what was the mystery? Look at Romans 16 and verse 25. We'll go over some of these things. And it's a lot of fun to go over these things. Romans 16, verse 25. That's like, for instance, y'all know I love to preach from the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. But now you couldn't understand the Old Testament and see the church in the Old Testament like we can today without the Pauline epistles. You can see the church clearly because of the mystery that was revealed to Paul. And so now we've got the Pauline epistles and we can take there and look at these mysteries. Look at verse 25. He says, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to, watch this, He says, my gospel. Now, you don't have to answer me, but where is his, where is Paul's gospel? What's he talking about, my gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and he tells you that it's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And friend, if somebody's preaching anything other than that right now, friend, they're in trouble. You've got people adding water to the gospel. Friend, that's not the gospel. Friend, you got people adding church membership. I'm reading a book right now, and I'm doing a critique on it, and y'all, it says it, I've got it in quotes. It says that salvation is in the church. And he's talking about the building he's going to. Friend, that's not the God, that's another gospel. And it's wrong. He says, my gospel. Now look at this. He says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according, now here it is, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Isn't that amazing? Alright, so he was revealed a mystery that was kept secret since the world began. And so he's telling you even the mystery which was hid from the ages. Now let's expound on that mystery that was kept secret from the world began. It said hid from ages. Look in your Bible at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Tells you and expounds on that. The Old Testament, you got these prophets, man, you got Isaiah there, and he'll write something, and it'll be speaking of Christ's first coming, the very next, maybe even sometime a comma or a semicolon, it'll be talking about his second coming. In the Old Testament, that first and second coming was together most of the time because the church was hid in the Old Testament. And so you've got these things being spoken of here, and don't you know Isaiah was writing? You imagine Isaiah writing Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 and 2 that Luke quoted over in, Jesus quoted over in Luke 4. Don't you know one minute it's talking about the sufferings, and then it's talking about him coming in vengeance and wrath, and he stops right there in Luke chapter 4. Don't you know they get bad confused and say, hold on just a minute now. He's preached the acceptable year of the Lord. Why? He came preaching. He said, man, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so then they got mad at him and wanted to throw him off the hill, but his time was not yet then. And so, see, they saw, all they could see was his glory to follow. So look at 1 Peter 1, verse 12, says this. I'm going to start in verse 11. It says, searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So those things were testifying the sufferings of Christ, surely, but the glory that was to follow. But watch this, it says, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. It wasn't revealed to them back then. They couldn't figure out the church age. They saw, the prophets saw past that church age. But unto us. Look there. Unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So, isn't that a blessing right there? And he goes on a little bit later on, you know, he's talking about the epistles of Paul. He said even some of these things Paul writes, he said some of them are hard to understand. You got to study. That's why the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, it takes some study. Do you know that a man can get in this Bible right here, and if he don't study to show himself approved unto God, he can break his neck on that Bible right there. You got some people, they'll take a verse out of context, or they'll take a verse that doesn't apply to them, and they got applying verses that really go to Israel. They'll apply it to the church when some of that stuff that goes to Israel don't apply to us. And friend, you got to be real careful about that stuff. You got to, whenever you come to a verse of scripture, you got to say, who is this thing talking to? What's the context of the passage, and what time period is it in? You got some of these folks that'll try to rob you, and man, they'll go over there and they'll tell you about him restoring the canker worm and everything. Y'all heard them quote that verse. I don't know if y'all seen some of these people. They'll get on there and they'll quote some of those verses. Man, they'll say, well, sow a $1,000 money seed into my ministry. And the Bible said in Luke 8:11, the seed's the word of God.
Amen.
And you got over in 1 Peter 3. Verse 21, it says, where baptism doth not also now save us. And they'll stop right there. They won't get you the context. The Bible goes on to say, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. What I'm saying is, friend, if you come to that Bible with the wrong motives, Brother, you'll hurt yourself in that Bible. It's a two-edged sword, and we're supposed to come to that Bible with the right motives. And you know, some people will get in that Bible for nothing else but to justify their sin. They'll get in that Bible just to look for a verse to figure out a way where they can get along with their sin. They really will. I tell y'all all the time about that guy. I won't never forget him. He's wanting to find an excuse to smoke marijuana, and he said, "Well, the Bible says He give us every herb bearing seed." I thought, what a thing. Now, if he ain't got any more sense than that, I'd leave that man alone. And you know that Bible's not talking about that. So anyway, he right here, you see in this verse that mystery of the church age, they couldn't see it there, but it's revealed unto us. And we can get in this Bible here and see it. We can see the church in here. And it says it's a mystery, and it's talking about which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so what you've got here is He's made known through this New Testament, these Pauline epistles, that mystery. And it says, make known what is the riches. Now, what He made it known? Let me show you something here in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. I'm gonna go with Ephesians 3. We'll read verses 1 through 3 together. And we'll get some of these scriptures so down pat, if somebody asks you about it, you'll know right where to take them to and show them. And so, y'all know that anybody who is not a Jew is a Gentile. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:32, I think it might be on this chart, the Bible is either to the Jew and to the Gentile and to the church. So when you got a text of Scripture, it's to the Jew, to the Gentile, to the church, and anybody who is not a Jew is a Gentile. We are Gentiles because we're not Jews. But guess what? We're more than that. We're saved Gentiles, so we're in the body of Christ. We're the church. So many of these things, like these Pauline epistles, are addressed to the church. Now, if you're Ephesians 3, verse 1, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." See, he talks about who, he'll tell you who he's talking to. Verse 2, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you." Paul is given that dispensation, and he's telling you how God has given out his salvation today by grace through faith, that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's telling you about that. Look at verse 3, "How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery." You see that right there? "As I wrote afore in few words." Look at verse 4. "Whereby when you read, you may understand." You know, reading, it takes reading to understand. He said, "When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now here it is again. The same thing that you read in 1 Peter and you read in Colossians. He said in verse 5, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." See, they didn't know it in other ages. It says, "As it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Now, I want to stop there and tell you this. If you get anything revealed to you, be by the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, "The natural man receiveth not the things that be of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them." Well, Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, He said, "My words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life." You see there? And so they're not going to get these spirit words unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to them. Now, what do you mean by that? "What made known unto the sons of men?" Let me show you a good example of that. That gospel, they didn't realize the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ until it was made known unto later on after the crucifixion. Now look at Luke 18. I'll just show you one example of this, and we'll have to go over some more of this later on tonight if y'all come back to the Revelation study. Now if you'll look at Luke 18. We're not out of room. I'm going to have to drop that thing down. Luke 18. He says, I'm going to start reading in, while y'all turning there, I'll begin the context in verse 31. Look at this. He says, "Then he took unto him the 12. Now he's got the 12 disciples here, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." So Jesus knows this. And all these scriptures here, 48 prophecies, I believe it is, are being fulfilled concerning Jesus Christ. It says, verse 32, "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. Verse 33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Now hold on a minute. He just told them about the death, burial, and resurrection. Third day he shall rise again. There's the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. But watch this. It was hid. Remember we read that? Look at verse 34. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. There's that hid. Remember? Hid from them. Neither knew they these things which were spoken. Isn't that amazing right there? And you think, and see, that was hid from them. See, that death, burial, and resurrection in the Old Testament was hid from them there. And thank God that we can take this right here and read this clearly and find out exactly what's going on. We got these Pauline epistles here, and we can find out exactly why. Because Paul was revealed the mystery. Jesus Christ came in there and showed him things. You got the mystery of godliness. You got the mystery of the divine indwelling, which is the Holy Spirit dwelling in men. And you got these mysteries that were shown to Paul that, friend, they just didn't have. And you know, that ought to humble us. And you think about it. Those saints served God with less of a Bible than what we've got right here. We've got the completed 66 books right here, Word of God. And you know what amazes me? We do, as a whole, so little with so much. And they did so much with so little. Man, they didn't have near what the revelation we've got here. We've got all this revelation. Isn't that a blessing right there? We're able to come in there and get light on things. And man, we need to take advantage of it. And so you've got that dispensation of God there, which is the grace of God, and it's revealed there. The Apostle Paul, to me, I hope that's clear to y'all. To me, clear as a glass of water. And so, the hope of glory, and it's talking about the riches. Now I want to show you a few verses on those riches there that we get to get in on. Back in your Bible in Ephesians, let me show you something here. Look at Ephesians. let's look at chapter 1. I want to show you a couple things. I hope will bless your heart. I knew we was going to go over some verses this morning, man. We hadn't got to get together in a while, and I tell you one of my favorite ones right here. If you're there, I'm going to start in Ephesians. Let me just go to chapter 2. This is some of the best ones. Look here. It says this. I'm going to start verse 5. No, verse 4. Look at this. But God. I love that. Y'all ever got in your Bible and studied that phrase, but God? Man, I like it when God butts in. Man, a man can be, you can be failing and messing up, but God, and he'll jump in there, man. Alright. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. I like how he throws that in. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now here it comes. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now you think that's not a blessing. In the ages to come, he's going to keep on showing us the riches of his grace and his kindness. You imagine, you've got all these ages to come. A lot of times we think that Bible is just all about us. Well, us, there's a whole lot more left to come, man. You've got eternity and the ages of ages to come. And you know what he's going to do? You know it's going to be such a blessing? God's going to say, you think you saw something? I'm just saying, I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but man, what a blessing the Lord will say. Now, and like I said, I'm using my imagination here, but think with me for a minute. You think you saw something now? You just wait. You just wait. You get 10,000 years. We've been singing about Jesus Christ and His grace and His riches. And He says, hold on just a minute. Now you think you've seen something. Let me show you something else. And man, don't you know what a blessing that'll be? And that you can't never get beyond all the riches. In the ages to come, He's going to keep on showing you His riches. Brother, a Christian is the one who's got something to look forward to.
Amen.
This world right here thinks, hey, man, you don't feel sorry for me for a minute, man. I've got a lot to look forward to. In the ages to come, we'll keep on seeing His riches there and His blessings. Now, look at another thing. You'll see there. He says, he said in the ages, we read about his riches there, but it says Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. You ever thought about that hope of glory? Y'all know the Bible says that Jesus Christ is our hope. Now, turn to Romans, and I'm going to read you that. Turn to Romans chapter number 8. Let's look at that glory that's going to be revealed. And while you're turning there, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:1, it says, in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. If you want to know what your hope is, it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People say, well, I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I just hope, brother, Jesus Christ is my hope. And if He's on the inside of me, I know. I know because of Him. Not because of anything I do or I can do or anything. It's because of Him. And ain't that a blessing to have that hope on the inside? I got hope because He's the hope. And so Romans chapter 8, we'll show you about the glory. It says the hope of glory. Now, when you get saved, your soul is saved, but your body, friend, this body is just old flesh. So guess what happened? We're looking for something. Look, now your soul is saved, but my body's not saved. My body's headed to the grave. But guess what here? Look at this. Look at Romans 8 verse 18. He says, for I reckon... Man, I like it, the country right there. We say, I reckon. That's a Bible term. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory. The glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory that's in us one of these days is going to be revealed. You know what He's going to do one of these days? Jump down here at verse... here it is. Look to verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves. See, on the inside of you is something that don't like this old sinful flesh. Anyway, you're groaning just like the whole creation is. What are you groaning for? What have you got that for? Look, waiting for the adoption to wit, that's to know there, the redemption of our body. Guess what? One of these days, your body's going to be redeemed.
Amen.
You think that? Yeah, glory is going to be revealed in you. Why? What's that going to be revealed? Who's the glory? Who's the hope? Jesus Christ is the glory. He's the hope. And guess what the Bible says? For Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall we also appear with Him in glory. The Bible says that, brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Bible said we'll be like Him.
Amen.
We're going to have a body like Christ, to wit, the redemption of the body. Jump down here now in verse 20. Let's see here. Talking about that glory. Man, that whole chapter is good. But it says the redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? See, we walk by faith and not by sight. It says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We had to wait for that thing, man. But you keep on reading down through there, and what you're going to find out is friend, I like how He's bringing this out, that look what all the Christians got to look forward to. We're going to be up to be with Jesus Christ, and we get a brand new body and get to be with Him forever. And He says this over here in Romans 8, 38, 39. He says, for I am persuaded. He's persuaded about something. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that ain't a blessing, man, I don't know what. And brother, you talking about the hope and the riches of His glory. You talking about Paul there reading. He's telling you about a mystery. Man, he said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't keep something to myself. He said, I'm going to tell you about this thing God revealed to me. And look at the riches, and look at the hope, and look at the glory. And brother, you get to reading that thing and thinking about that. And then guess what he did then? He's a preacher. Look what he says down in Colossians 1 verse 28. This is what he says. Man, this will set your heart on fire like old Jeremiah. He said, I had a fire down in my bones. I couldn't stay. Verse 28, he said, whom we preach. That whom, that's referring to Jesus Christ. We preach. Now watch what he does. If any preacher, you want to know a good thing to preach, watch what he says here. Three things. He said, we preach. How? Warning every man. Not just some, every man. He said warning, and then what he said, and teaching. So a preacher is supposed to be somebody that warns, like Ezekiel over there. Man, he's a watcher on the wall, and he's trying to warn people about the sword that's going to come. And then not only that, Bible says he's supposed to be out to teach. He's teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, we know that you cannot be perfect as far as sinless perfection. But what's he meaning, perfect? Let's look that up. You know, the thing is, what I like about the Bible, you can just look at another verse and let the Bible define the Bible. Look at a good one here to look that one up. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at about perfect here for a minute. Now, we know you can't have sinless perfection until you get on the other side of where you have a mind of Christ. I don't have to worry about sin anymore. But the Bible says you can be perfect. Let's see what he's talking about here. I think it's 2 Timothy 3, should be 16 and 17. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is given. That's currently. Not was. You know, some people believe it was given. You don't have the Scriptures anymore. Is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now watch, why is the Bible given everything? What does the Bible tell you to do? Now we're going to stop before I read that next verse. The Bible tells you to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now how are you going to do that? By reading God's Word. He says, now you're clean for the Word which I have spoken unto you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word. And he goes on to tell you that that Word makes you clean. That Word will clean you up. And friend, we got to have that Word every day. But now if you want to be perfect, what he's telling you is, get in that Word, because he's telling you what the Word's profitable for. And first thing is doctrine. Doctrine to keep you straight, man. And not keep you from being carried about with every wind of doctrine like people are being carried about with today. And look what it says here in verse 17, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. You see that? Now, what does perfect mean right here? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what he can do is he can make you complete. He can make you thoroughly furnished. And man, I tell you what, you get a room, and some rooms, you let's just say this room right here didn't have any furniture in it at all. It wouldn't be thoroughly furnished. You ain't got any structure to it. There's nothing here. You can't have folks come in here and sit down and learn God's Word without it being furnished. But guess what? Thank the Lord, it's thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You can get more done. You know what? A Christian who gets in God's Word, learns God's Word, learns doctrine, and friend, and you're fellowshipping with God, and you're praying, you got a relationship with God, well, you can get a lot more done, can't you? And see, you're complete in Christ. He wants you to be mature in Christ. And that perfect carries the weight there. And if you'll find that you're thoroughly furnished, you're complete in Christ in that you're doing what you can do. So I had a preacher tell me one time, I was asking about that, and he gave me a pretty good illustration, I think. I was talking to him about that word perfect. He said, you know, you think about a peach. And I thought, uh-oh, where's he going with this? And he said, a peach is in its development. Let's say it's 6 weeks in that development. It's out there in the sunlight. It's shining on that peach. And it's been shining on that peach for 6 weeks. He said, that peach at that time, with the amount of light that it's had for that time, is as mature as it can get for that time. Does that make sense? Well, with you, as you expose yourself to the light of the Word of God, that Word is a lamp under thy feet, a light under thy path. Friend, if you're exposing yourself to that Word of God and you're yielding to that Word of God, you can be perfect for that moment. In that, as you're yielding to God, you're yielding to the light He has given you, and you're thoroughly furnished right then. You're able to help folks with what you've been exposed to. And you know, the thing is, friend, we can't go beyond what God's shown us. I know, I'll tell you myself, sometimes I want to get in a great big old hurry and try to get out there further than what I'm able to. Well, friends, look, if you just study every day and you read every day and you try to learn all you can learn, but you can't go beyond what God's shown you. And so it's kind of like that peach there. With the amount of light you've had, you can be mature to the amount of light you've had. So I hope that helps on that verse. Now back to Colossians again. Look at verse 29. He says, whereunto I also labor. Now watch what he tells you about labor here. He says, striving. Man, you imagine that? There's a lack of laborers today. You know what Jesus said over at one place? I believe it was Matthew 9, probably around 37. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but you know what he said? The laborers are few. Do you know right now that there are people right now that would love to have a good worker? You know there's churches right now that love to have good workers and good folks with good common sense work for them, but it's lacking. Well, but a Christian is supposed to be a laborer, man. Listen to this verse. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And that was 1 Corinthians 15:10. I said that verse to tell you this. Paul was a laborer. And friend, Paul got a lot done for God. God showed Paul a lot of things. He's a laborer. He's a worker. Now, I mean to tell y'all this. I've said it before. But I have yet to see a man be used by God who is a lazy man. The Bible says if a man won't work, neither should he eat. And now you got a lot of folks nowadays that want to jump on the backs of the working men and women and today, and they say, well, I'm supposed to have this and I'm supposed to have that. Hey, if you're not working, the Bible said that. I didn't write that. The Bible said if a man won't work, neither should he eat. And so we're supposed to be laborers for Christ. And let me say this, He's worth working for. He's worth anything we can do. He says striving according to His working. Now, I underline that Bible. Why? Because a lot of folks striving according to their working. The Bible says according to His working. We're supposed to do what He wants us to do. And friend, you talking about being in the will of God and everything. Well, find out what God says and then do it. You know, you're not going to be out of the will of God if you're doing what God says. And so we're supposed to find it out and do it. Another thing, he says this right here, which worketh in me mightily. You know what he recognized out of all that stuff? One thing I think about the Apostle Paul, you realize that he realized it wasn't him. It was Christ. And if anything gets gotten done that's good of us or through us, it'll be the Holy Spirit working through us. And if anything gets done mightily, it'll be Him working in us mightily. You know what Paul said in Galatians 2:20? He said, "For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." Now this is something, a phrase underlined in my Bible in that place. He said, "Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You know what you find out there? He had got to the point where he wanted to say, "Not I, but Christ." Friend, that's what we want to get to. We want to get to where we're kind of like the old John the Baptist. He said, "Lord," he was talking to them folks and they was asking him if he was a Christ. Look, he said, "Look, he must increase, I must decrease." Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 31, he said, "I die daily." Friend, that's the problem with the world today. People don't want to die, they want to live. And you got folks learning how to live and not how to die too. You got all these people nowadays, they want to make themselves live and last for 120 years like their little friend. We do good to get our 3 score and 10. And man, I'm like old Marshall, man. Anybody in this room living on borrowed time? It's borrowed time. And brother, we got to enjoy what we got. Why? Because one of these days, brethren, you got to realize when you're in Christ Jesus, this little thing here's just a blip. And one of these days, you'll be just like Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and then 10,000 years go by, and we just started, man. I mean, just started. So, he's telling you that, and I thank the Lord for Paul and what he showed us here, and that Paul allowed the Lord to work in and through him. You know what we ought to do? Allow the Lord to work in and through us. Why? Because it's worth it. And another thing, too, you know, the Bible says that it's more blessed to give than receive. Do you know whenever you give your time to take your time out and you share with somebody else the Word of God, God, that don't go unnoticed by God. You know, you take your time out to pray for somebody, that does not go unnoticed by God. You take your time out to come and hear a portion of His Word preached and you pray for other saints, and that does not go unnoticed by God. And so we ought to let, if God gave us something, hey, give it back to Him. You can't outgive, you know something you'll find, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive Him. And we ought not be stingy with what He gave us. So I thank Him that He gave us His Word too.